welcome to the Comic Book Rundown.
Welcome back to the Comic Book Rundown. I'm your host, Joe, and I am on the final issue of this Giant Days story arc, issue number 8. If you'd like to check out our previous coverage, go check out episodes 144 through 147, as well as our last three episodes. So we go into the final issue of this volume, and it's been, I'm not entirely sure, a couple days, a week maybe, I don't know. Esther and the guy, I can't remember his name, they say it, I know they do. Ian, there we go. Esther and Ian are skating like a happy little couple. You got McGraw skating, staring at Ian like he doesn't know how to take the guy. They're at a skating rink. I should say that. They're not just skating on concrete. That'd be weird. Why would you think that? Okay. Daisy's having a fun old time trying to stay up. I don't know if she's skated before ever, but she's having a blast. While Susan, on the other hand, is not so confident. She's actually threatening Ed that if he doesn't get out on the ice with them, that he'll suffer. But Ed's like, can't. If I go over these, referring to his fingers, and they get chopped off, it's over. My fingers are my fortune. I believe he's an artist. And I believe this is the first time that that has been mentioned. I could be wrong. I don't know, though. Like I said earlier, Ed is in love with Esther. But Esther just, one, doesn't see it. Two, obviously, is fallen for Ian. So it's kind of one of those things where he waited too long, I guess. But again, Esther just sees him as a little brother and doesn't really see him as... he's not attracted to him. McGraw, he's like, I don't like the man. He seems like an empty shirt. I doubt he's ever drained down a central heating system. Basically, if in McGraw's eyes, if he doesn't know how to do any kind of manly work, he's not a man. Which, I find that a little sexist, but then again, that's just, I'm not here to complain about that. That's the thing. Ian is kind of like with Esther, and they're just being all lovey-dovey. He kind of looks over at the group, and he's like, so do you think your friends like me? And Esther's like, of course they do. And the group is all, it looks very ghoulish because they're all staring at him, but there's no pupils in their eyes, and he's just like, yeah, okay, I think I'm good, I guess. We go to Daisy. This is like a day later, maybe a couple days later. Go to Daisy and Susan, and Daisy is trying to give a motivational speech to Susan about getting up that hill. This part is kind of interesting, to say the least. For whatever reason, Daisy is kind of shaming Susan for having bought the wrong shoes, because now she can't walk up this snowy hill, which, England, everything's hills. Like, okay. But what ends up happening is she slides and falls down the hill, and Daisy is basically like, look, you're going to go up that hill. You're going to do it. Let's see here. What'd you say? See that hill? It's beaten a lot of people. It thinks it can beat you. Hell, it's already got you beat. But here's the thing. It's overconfident, full of itself. Hills like that make mistakes. Because hills have opinions on things, I guess. I don't know. But Daisy is all up in Susan's face. Like, you're going up that hill. We're going to go do this. Yeah, okay. Susan's just like, I guess I'm going to go along with this. But whatever. So we go back over to Esther and Ian, and he's like, look, I met your friends, now you get to go meet mine. And yeah, Esther is nervous. You know, obviously with her friends, she's, well, like with anybody, you go meet a group of friends and you're uncomfortable because you don't know how to react. Yeah, I mean, we've all been there. We've all been there. So she goes to meet her friends, and her friends are very political, I guess, to be the right term. They have their own opinions, and Esther's just kind of like, I'm don't really know what to say. She does mention something and kind of gets shot down, and Ian's just like, yeah, your friend, like, these guys are great. And Esther's just like, I don't know what that was. I'm basically how she say? I'm sure they're impressed with your ignorant goth child bride. Yeah. Again, she's feeling down on herself, similar to what she was earlier on. So she comes home, and now Daisy is, looks like a mother figure. Like, before she looked very sporty when she was talking with Susan, and how she was giving her this go get them speech, and now she is standing there in like a blazer and a glass of wine, and their hair is all straightened out and down as she's talking with Esther. Basically, she is, I'm not going to say she's making a fun, but she's treating Esther like a child and like she's an adult. And Esther kind of calls her out on that. And it's just that scene is just kind of fun. Basically, Esther saying that she, you know, she messed up, and Daisy is just like, well, you know, at your age, you can bounce back. And Esther's like, you're young, Daisy, you're younger than me, and you're drunk, and you're not from Texas, because in her room, she now has a Don't Mess with Texas poster above her bed, because why not, I guess? Because it's the, yeah, sure. Next day, the very next day, we find Esther baking. She'd made a bunch of cupcakes for Ian and his friends, and Susan has no idea what's going on, and so as Esther is presenting this tray of cupcakes that she just got done decorating, Susan takes them and tosses them out the window. And Esther's just all like, all a little mad, but Susan is just like, yeah, so what are you gonna do now? And that's when Esther brings out a second tray that she had just got done baking. Because this is not, in Susan's eyes, this is not Esther. Esther is not one to become a homebody and become a baking personality. So she's afraid that she's changing for Ian and not changing for the best. Well, as Susan is having a kind of a breakdown, Daisy comes up in her sports garb again and drags her into her room and starts to have a bunch of sports metaphors and analogies on how they need to team up to make Esther better and just support her and all this. And Susan just like, what are you talking about? Like sports, like quarterback, what? Stop, Daisy, stop this. But she leaves. And then like, as she's leaving, Ed is walking up and Susan's like, don't go in Dave's room. She's having a full-blown episode. But Ed's like, I've got an appointment with her. So as Ed walks in, now Daisy is the mother homebody persona that she wasn't before. The quick turnaround is really great. But ultimately what it is Ed is, I'm not going to say sick and tired of being in love with Esther, but he needs to find, he doesn't know how to do anything else relationship wise because he has this fascination with her. So what Daisy decides is that he needs to get out there, and ultimately shoves him into the what is called, they're calling the Pig, which is the newspaper for the university, and basically convinces him that he should work here. And it actually kind of works out. He gets the job, I'm going to say, quote-unquote job. I mean, it's university newspaper. I'm not entirely sure how hard. You know, not going to say that. I'm going to stop myself right there because I don't know how hard it is. And it probably is very hard to work at a newspaper for a university. So I'm going to stop myself. Good job, Joe. You did it. So we go to Esther and... No, sorry. That's my bad. We go to Susan and McGraw, and Susan is dead set on staying inside. She's never going to go outside ever again. Nothing that anybody can say can stop her. McGraw's like, that's not how this is going to work. You're going to go outside. I'm going to make it so you go outside. And he presents her with a homemade sled, because McGraw is nothing but crafty. And she loves it. She's actually pretty happy with it. The whole reason she didn't really like going outside was because she just couldn't get... Every time she'd go out in the snow, like I said, it's still winter. Every time she goes out, she slips and falls and gets in a giant mess and just... She hates it. I can't blame her. I don't know how many times I've fallen on ice. Hell, there was one time where I fell and almost had a concussion. That was great. Did I go to the hospital? Of course not, because I'm dumb. But here it is. Now she's able to go outside and enjoy it, to the point where, you know, McGraw, the guy that she is kind of in love with, you know, he's helping her. And he is pulling her on the sled, and it's actually kind of cute. We do end up going to Esther, and she is... So Esther herself, if you remember our description, she's a goth girl. She has the white, like, goth face. I'm not going to say that that's makeup. I'm pretty sure that that's just her skin tone. I could be wrong. I don't know. But right now she actually has like a pale complexion, and her hair is fine, and she's dressed nice and all this stuff. But because she's wanting to impress Ian and his, I think this is his family. Oh, sorry. This is the one of the professors. And he got invited to the dinner. So she had, in preparation for this dinner, she had ended up reading, what's it, a bunch of articles from The Economist, The New Yorker, and The New Scientist while she was baking. So she had learned a lot of talking points specifically for this dinner to make so that Ian did not... Basically, she didn't look like an idiot, and Ian didn't look like an idiot for dating her. Unfortunately, Ian was more... pretty sure he liked the fact that she wasn't as smart as him. He liked that it kind of... He could kind of lure that over her to the point where she keeps talking, and he pulls her aside, like, into a different room, and is saying that, you know, that she's embarrassing herself. But what Esther puts it together that I'm embarrassing you. And so she goes to the bathroom real quick, or as they say, I have to powder my nose because they're proper. I guess it is kind of makeup. No, she's wiping it off. You know what? I don't know. It's whatever. Ultimately, what happens is that she takes up all the makeup. She messes her hair up. Messes up the dress that she was wearing. And comes back looking more like her normal self. And she apologizes that she has to leave. She thanks everybody for inviting her. And then it's like, I'll be home back... You enjoy your din-dins, darling. See you back at the ranch, as she says to Ian, and she leaves. Ian's just like, you know, you get back here, you humiliated me in there. And Esther is like, I'm no one's woman, Ian, and definitely not yours. My favorite part, though, is the professor. He's like, can't he leave instead and she come back? Like, they actually like talking to her. So whatever Ian was doing, Ian's an idiot, so, but doesn't have to worry about it. And they, she gets back, Esther gets back to the dorm room just in time, because Susan needs her help with Daisy. Daisy had just bought a deep fryer for a turkey, basically going over the edge of whatever she was going on. Turns out she had bought the whole, let's see here. I think it's only seasons 1 through 5. I'm not entirely sure how many seasons Friday Night Lights had, but Esther, Daisy bought seasons 1 through 5 and basically got, I guess you can say, mind wiped. She fell in love with the series, which, I mean, anybody who falls in love with the TV show understands, you kind of become obsessed with it. Well, it got to the point where she was super obsessed with it. And Susan ends up throwing the DVDs away, which apparently broke the spell that was over Daisy. It was a fun little interaction, fun little thing. Last page of this issue here, we've got Daisy coming back up to Ed and him exclaiming that, you know, he's now a part of the newspaper. He's standing there with the editor Amanda, and she's just like, he's doing pretty good. He fits right in, and Ed is pretty happy with it, which is great considering that the advice that was given to him was from Daisy when she was in a different state of mind, but it works out. But yeah, that was actually kind of fun. The last panel here is you hear this bad scraping sound, and you see McGraw still pulling Susan on the sled and her having a wonderful time while he is just miserable because he's getting tired. I said the last time, I do love the series. I've read majority of it. I think I haven't read like the last couple. I know the series has ended officially. I personally have up to volume 3, and then I've through the library was able to read what all they have. It's such a wonderful, just a wonderful series. It's something that is different than, I think I said this last time, it's different than the superhero stuff. It's a nice change of pace for everything. Especially when, you know, you get the comics where, with the Batman comics, what did Batman, who did he fight today and how is he going to beat them? And, oh, he got that riddle. Good job, you. It's wonderful. It's good. A good series to dive into if you're looking for something down to earth. You know, there's nothing extraordinary about any of this stuff. It's a fun slice of life series that is just wonderful. It's a good change of pace. I recommend it. I definitely recommend picking the series up. If you can find it. I know I got the first 3 volumes I got were, I think I found them for cheap at like conventions. But like I said, go to your library, Comixology might have them for like a buck a piece. I could be wrong. I don't use Comixology, because I've got the, DC Universe and the Marvel Unlimited. And those are kind of, if it's anything other than those two, I'm buying the trades usually from like Image or IDW, or like this one, which is from Boombox, which I did not stay at the beginning, and that's my bad. Yeah, because this was written in, I know I'm saying it now, and that's kind of bad. That's my own fault. 2016 or 2015. So, hey, look, I got it at one point. Good job, Joe. See, when I don't have other people with me, I tend to do more off-the-cuff things, and that's not good for me. I need to actually have more of a structure. But it works. You guys liked it, right? Right? Let me know, please. And you can let me know by giving us a rating or review over on Apple Podcast or whatever podcast app you use. Or you can find us on Twitter or Instagram. Twitter is Comic Rundown or at Comic Rundown. Instagram is at Comic Book Rundown. And you can also email us any suggestions or questions or comments, or if that's how you want to review us, send that there. You know, basically just show mail kind of stuff. I know you'll be hearing all that here in a second as my end spiel like I normally do, but still want to get out here now. We also have a shirt if you guys are interested in buying or purchasing a shirt with our logo on it. Hopefully we will have a new shirt on the Redbubble store soon. Just go to redbubble.com, type in Comic Book Rundown, and they'll pull up that shirt design. I think that's it for now. Thank you guys for listening, and we will see you next time. Thank you for listening to Comic Book Rundown. If you'd like to get a hold of us, you can do so on Twitter at Comic Rundown, on Instagram at Comic Book Rundown, or you can send your emails to comicbookrundown@gmail.com. We'll be back very soon with a brand new story arc.